I am the door. The I am is the door. Doors have always had a mysterious transformative power. They create boundaries, barriers or markers that divide inner from outer and outer from inner. Such boundaries are the precondition of all life and development. Without cell walls, the life of the simplest single-celled organism would be swamped by the water in which it lives. Without the clear boundary marked by closing the door and ringing the bell, the spiritual power of the act of consecration would be dispersed. However, if it is impermeable, the boundary wall becomes a prison. For life to unfold within the cell walls, there has to be an exchange of substances between inside and outside. The boundary around the act of consecration is also permeable. Through the course of the service, we invite the whole of humanity, all those who have died, and all the ranks of spiritual beings to assist us in celebrating. The power of the door lies in the fact that we can change its state if we recognize it as a door. If it were only open, it would be a break in the boundary, which could be dangerous for the life inside. If it were only closed, its protection would become a fetter on life. When we think back to our first experience of ourselves as an I, we may well remember a time when we had to find ourself, perhaps against resistance, to uphold our own being, maybe when others were trying to influence us against our will. To find ourselves, we needed to be able to go inside ourselves and shut the door. But there's another aspect of our I. If we think back to moments when we felt most at one with our true self, they will often be times when we gave ourselves fully to a task or to a deep encounter. We find ourselves by opening ourselves to the world. These days of enforced inactivity can be a challenge, particularly for those of us with active or restless natures. Will we be able to bear the quiet loneliness of the inside? I am the door. The I am is the door. This word of Christ has a particular resonance this year when we are experiencing the lockdown. Last Sunday, we heard how the disciples locked themselves away for fear. Their inner liberation, the opening of their door, happened through Christ's presence among them, even in their fear. Even as they were locked down, behind closed doors. Suddenly, the closed door changed from being their refuge and their protection to being a boundary around an inner space into which the spirit of the whole world had entered and could be present among them. St. Paul's famous phrase, "Not I, but Christ in me," from his letter to the Galatians in the second chapter, is actually part of a longer passage. Paul describes a powerful experience of death. He who had lived his life according to the law, in other words, according to what was right and wrong, experienced that this brought him to a dead end. Then comes one of the most astonishing sentences in the whole Bible. I have been crucified with Christ. The experience of death, of futility, of failure, of getting it wrong, leads to a breakthrough. A door opens. Paul continues, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. The story of Holy Week, which has its climax in the crucifixion, is the story of the collision of two kinds of power. It is likely that Palm Sunday saw two triumphal entries. Pilate would have marched at the head of the occupying army from his residence on the coast in order to enforce a semblance of peace on his troubled province during the great festival of Passover, when the population of Jerusalem swelled many times over. On the other side of the city, the power of self-giving, sacrificial love was embodied in Jesus's meekly riding on the donkey. All through the week, the power of fear and control, what St. Paul sums up as the law in all its forms, tries to crush the power of self-giving, sacrificial love. It has to be said that a neutral observer of both events on Palm Sunday would have seen the glittering display of military might as rather more convincing than the humble entry of an itinerant preacher from the unfashionable end of the Holy Land. However, when we celebrate Easter, we affirm that Pilate's power was limited, because in the end it could only deal out death. The death of the one who seemed destined to be obliterated gave rise to a new power of life, a power great enough to change the course of history, to change the course of every human destiny. A question I've been living with in these days is whether it makes a difference if we take as our starting point the fact that the resurrection has actually happened. Might this take away some of our fear? Might it open inner doors that were threatening to shut us in? What would happen if we knew that the reality of creative, self-giving love is already written into every atom of our world? Would our assessment of current events change if we knew that the deepest motivation of every spiritual and every human being is ultimately to align themselves to the power of that love? If we understood that everything that afflicts us is in the end the foil for our courage, courage to break down whatever gates of hell we have closed upon ourselves, that whatever dark forces may be at work, whatever schemes and stratagems we fear, it will turn out that the powers behind them meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, as Joseph says to his brothers in the Old Testament. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and have it to the full. The indwelling Christ, the Christ in me, the Christ in us, who has taken up residence in the Holy of Holies of the human I, leads us through death into life. He is the comforter in all our earthly experience, because he has gone before us and shown us the outcome of the battle between the powers.